The conspiracy theories abound. No, not about the disappearance of Malaysian Airlines MH370, nor about the rumors surrounding Area 51, a chunk of Nevada where alien spacecraft may once have landed. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. My name is Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. Once again, the charge is ebook price fixing, though this time the plaintiffs are ebook retailers who say their businesses suffered when Apple and several major publishers colluded to lock out price competition. With the details, we welcome back Andrew Albanese, Publishers Weekly Senior Editor. Andrew, good to have you back on Beyond the Book.
Greetings, Chris.
Well, yeah, we talk about conspiracy theories. We've had a few of those over the last several years with regard to this particular case, and now there are some new ones. So tell us about it. There are at least three more antitrust suits coming before Judge Cote.
Yeah, that's right. You know, this week we learned about a potential new front in the ebook antitrust battle, and this one involving aggrieved retailers. And these suits have largely flown beneath the radar. The first was filed by a small Australian company called DNAML, in September of 2013. And this month, two more were filed by one by a company called Lavoho, which is the successor to the Diesel ebook store, which announced this week that it was closing at month's end. And another from Abbey House Media, which was formerly Books on Board, which shut down last year. And the suits all share representation, and it appears, I got this from a letter to the court, that the attorneys are going to try to get the cases all consolidated in front of Judge Cote, who is accepting them all as related to her Apple case, which, of course, it is.
So I mentioned in the opening there conspiracy theories. That's the basis of all these suits. Tell us more specifically about what the charges are.
Yeah, so the suits contain nearly identical claims. And that's that the illegal collusion alleged between Apple and the publishers ended these retailers' ability to bundle, discount, promote, or otherwise engage in retail price competition and thus destroyed their businesses. In each complaint, the plaintiffs are said to have had basically the same business models, all predicated on aggressive price competition. So DNAML, which I call them for short, for example, had a business model built on discounted bundling, and that included bundling free ebooks with the purchase of other digital products. Books on Board, which was founded in 2006 by Bob Lavolsi, had a model that was built on aggressively pricing ebooks and offering a rewards program that was designed to develop customer loyalty. And then the Diesel ebook store, which is now represented by Lavoho, was also built upon discounted bundling and it had a rewards program. And it had actually developed its own software that would allow ebook stores to sort of shrink wrap up to 6 ebooks at a time and sell them to the consumer that way. But all that changed for these businesses once the publishers made their agency switch. As was noted at various points in Apple's trial, the agency agreements did not didn't lead to price rises only. They also hurt consumers by eliminating competition from retailers over price. And that includes making rewards programs and bundling and all of these sorts of things a non-starter. So in the brave new world of ebooks, suddenly in 2010, overnight, publishers dictated all the terms of sale. And without being able to do business on their founding business models, these companies were destroyed, and so they are suing Apple and the 5 publishers for damages.
Well, Andrew, you're our go-to guy for the Apple ebook case, and I have to ask you, this new wrinkle, what do you make of it all? What do you think the chances are for these kinds of charges and cases?
Well, you know, it's hard to say at this point, but I'll say, you know, both the publishers and Apple have filed motions to have the first case, which is the DNAML case, tossed. And I think they have a pretty strong legal argument. You know, they argue on a number of facets, but I would agree that, you know, there really is no direct harm here. And if there was, it was borne by consumers. And that direct harm was already addressed by the settlements and by the injunction issued in Apple's case. So I personally would be very surprised if these suits are not dismissed and are allowed to continue. But as I said, you never know. And if the suits are allowed to proceed, at least to discovery, I think they'll probably be settled because I think everybody at this point wants to be done with this. And, you know, frankly, I think that may be what the end game is here for the plaintiffs. You know, let me share a few observations in general about all of this. And the first is that the plaintiffs are represented by an attorney who just last year was suing the publishers, alleging they were in a conspiracy with Amazon. That was the Bookhouse case, which, you know, in which three indie bookstores had accused the publishers and Amazon of using DRM to lock them out of the Kindle ebook market. So now the same attorney is, you know, arguing a conspiracy between Apple and the publishers. And it's not unreasonable to assume that there's an element of sort of looking to get in on the Apple gravy train here, right? You know, not that that's definitely what's happening here, but at first glance, it does sort of smack like, you know, conspiracy shopping going on here. Nevertheless, the complaints also tell quite an interesting story of crushed competition, and they really add something new to the narrative. And that's that, you know, the agency switch was supposed to help retailers, and it was really strongly supported by like Barnes & Noble and Kobo, who were, you know, unable to compete with Amazon on price. But now you have all these smaller upstart e-retailers who wanted to compete with Amazon on price. You know, when his business closed last year, Bob Lavoisi, Books on Board's founder, had some really interesting comments that he made to PW's Calvin Reed. He called the agency switch a misguided move by the publishers that really benefited the big retail players, but it devastated independent ebook sellers. You know, publishers just didn't think about how this would affect distribution, he said. And he also said that Books on Board was collateral damage in the publisher's war against Amazon. You know, those comments are really sort of coming back now. You know, the other question I have here is whether or not any of these firms was really truly harmed by the agency switch. You know, as you know, retailers, the publishers argue, the agency model actually made their ebook margins higher. But maybe that isn't the point. Maybe the point is whether a business has the right to lose money in order to build a business, in order to build market share. Certainly, that's what Amazon does, right? But by locking in these guaranteed profit margins for everyone, even if they're higher profit margins, the court did observe that retail innovation was essentially foreclosed from small players. Because, you know, if you level the field for everyone and you can't develop a rewards program or somehow otherwise distinguish yourself, how can you compete with a 60 billion-pound gorilla like, you know, Amazon? So, you know, digital ventures flop all the time. We know this in publishing and for a great many reasons. And so I wonder if it's going to be enough to, you know, sort of loosely tie this to the alleged conspiracy, or whether or not it's going to get tougher as things go on.
Well, I have to give kudos to the attorney for some creative thinking there. And you give benefit of the doubt to the folks involved and say that they might or they might not be having their eye on the Apple checkbook. But for my money, that's exactly what's going on there. Anyway,
yeah, I think you're probably right. Definitely.
What else have you got?
Well, speaking of innovation, our library columnist Brian Kenny has a look back at the PLA meeting in the upcoming issue. That was in Indianapolis, and I, of course, was there. And you may read this piece and think that, you know, sort of the library developments he's discussing really don't resemble your dad's library. You know, he discusses the move, for example, to use embedded librarians, that is, getting librarians out of the library and into other places in the community. He also talks about, you know, the recent announcement in Los Angeles where the library is going to begin offering full high school diplomas, not just, you know, equivalency diplomas, through a program with Gale and Cengage. And then there's, of course, the ebook stuff. But more than that, how digital in libraries has really moved beyond ebooks and databases. And of course, he also looks at the trend towards makerspaces in libraries. So really quite a bit of fascinating stuff. And, you know, while I'm talking about fascinating stuff, I just want to take one more chance to say that I'm looking forward to the On Copyright seminar next week, sponsored by the fine folks at CCC. And people can read all about my coverage of that event before I head off to the London Book Fair next Friday. But, you know, if you want to, tell us a little more about what we can expect from On Copyright.
Well, it's a whole day's worth of discussion about copyright, but that makes it sound rather drier than I think it's going to be, because we've got a number of fascinating guests coming in from all areas of the creative economy. We've got musicians, we've got artists, we've got pundits from the publishing business, we've got our good friend James McQuivy, the Forrester research analyst and the guru of digital disruption, coming in and speaking on one of the panels. I'm going to be welcoming in a fascinating fellow named Matt Farley, who has cottoned on to the idea that he can make money through Spotify and iTunes just by writing as many tunes as he can possibly crank out. So it's a day looking at, you know, what the future of the creative industries really is going to be about. Everybody can see it online on our Ustream video feed, and they can get all the information, and they can register at www.onlinecreativeconomy.com. copyright2014.com. So thanks for that opportunity to give people a preview of that. We look forward to seeing you there in New York City, Andrew, at the New York Academy of Sciences, and we'll look forward to talking to you there.
Absolutely. It's a great event. I've loved every one of them I've been to so far, and I'm really looking forward to it.
All right. Andrew Albanese, thank you for joining us from Publishers Weekly, and we'll look forward to seeing you and talking with you next week.
My pleasure. Thanks, Chris.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. Follow us on Twitter, find Beyond the Book on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at our website, beyondthebook.com. Our engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.